All right, morning. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Kuf Mem Aleph. It's 141 in the Masechta. And what I'd like to do today is I'd like to finish the perek. We are on Kuf Mem on Vez, and there's just a couple more pieces of life advice, and then we continue back to Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos. I'm Rav Chista. Remember, I mentioned yesterday the Gemara just transitions. Into a discussion of bits of advice given by Rav Chista to Talmidei Chachamim, to his daughters, a whole series of advice that he offers. Nothing to do with the Gemara, nothing to do with the Sugya, but just simply having to do with general living. So Amar Rav Chista, Bar Bei Rav, Delei Slei Mashcha. So again, he speaks to the struggling Talmid Chacham who doesn't have a lot of money. So what do? You don't have oil. In the good old days, what they used to do is they used to rub their hands at the end of the meal with oil, and that's how they would clean their hands. Okay, I don't know how oil gets stirred off, but anyway, that was the practice. So what you do is you take water that has pit soaked in it, and the oil from the pits kind of go into the water, and that's what you use in lieu of not having oil. I'm Rav Chista Bar Bei Rav. Once again, Rav Chista speaks to the struggling Talmid Chacham. So look, and you're going to buy meat, and it's understood that you don't have a lot of meat to buy. So the best type of meat to buy is the neck of the animal. In the neck of the animal, you have three different types of meat, three different types of tastes. All contain the neck of the animal. Amar Rav Chista Bar Bei Rav, Dezavin Ki Tunisa, Lizbim Nahar Abba. And then he gives some advice in terms of where to get your clothing. So he says, look, you're going to buy linen clothing, get it from a place called Nahar Abba, V'nachvera Kol Tasan Yomin. And when you get it, so you want to clean it for the first 30 days every single day. D'mefachulei Treso Yarchei Shasa. Because you do that, it's going to last you a year. And so that is how to make sure you get good clothing that'll last for a while. The Ana Arva, and on this one, Rav Chista says, I'm going to give a personal guarantee that this works. Okay, why now on this one he gives a personal guarantee? Why hasn't he given it earlier? Or maybe the personal guarantee is going on everything, he says. So my Kitunisa, now it's called a Kitunisa, and we've seen this type of Gemara many times, meaning where does the name come from? How is that derived? Kita Na'e. You wear nice clothing, you're going to have a nice group of people that you're going to associate with, right? Clothing makes the man, and in this case, not only does it make the man, but it actually helps identify who you're going to be associating with. A person, again, speaking to the young Talmid Chacham, so don't sit down on a brand new mat. It's wet, and what happens is it's going to wear out your clothing. It's going to wear out your clothing. Also, you're lodging in other people's houses. In Europe, this used to be the minhag, where the Talmid Chacham was learning yeshiva, left his family, so they would stay in various baal batim's houses. So he says, don't have the woman of the house do your laundry. Why? Because it's just simply not derech eretz. Because she's going to see a particular stain on your clothing, and you're going to be embarrassed. And so, don't do it. Do your own laundry. Amlu Rav Chista Levante, and then Rav Chista talks to his daughters, and he gives advice to his daughters to have it. Make sure that you conduct yourself in a very modest fashion in front of your husbands. Lo sechlanam abapik avreichu. Don't eat bread in front of your husbands. Lo sechlan yiraka b'leila. At night, don't eat vegetables. It's not seemly. And lo techlan tamer b'leila, and don't eat dates at night. V'lo tishan shechar b'leila, and don't drink beer at night. V'lo tiftan heichad demafnig avreichu. Don't go to the bathroom the same place your husbands go to the bathroom. V'chi kakar. When opening the door and answering the door, don't say manu, but say rather money. Rashi explains, manu is lashon zachar, that's a masculine form. Money is lashon akeva, that's a feminine form. And even if the person at the front door happens to be a male, but always speak in the feminine form, right? Basically, be feminine. Don't be masculine. Nakis naki marganisa bechadiyade v'kur bechadiyade marganisa ach v'le v'kur lo ach v'lehu adimitzaren v'hadar ach v'lehu. And then he speaks and he gives them very intimate advice about how to be intimate with your husbands. And this is in order so that the husbands would impregnate them. And so he gives them very, very candid advice in terms of how to be with their husbands. Ein sholin esak harshinim. And finally, one last word regarding our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about, what an awkward transition, but our Mishnah talked about how to feed your animals. And the Mishnah said that you can take a sieve or a sift. Now, you can't sift on Shabbos. That was one of the big topics that we discussed in our Perek. But what you can do is you can take the sieve and basically use it as a cup in order to fill the trough in front of the animals. So, Masis Loki Aitana. Now, our Mishnah is not going like the following Braisa, Detanya, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ein Mashgichen Bekavra Kol Ikar. A person is not allowed to use a sift at all, a sieve at all. In other words, even if he's just filling his trough, he's not allowed to use it. And our Mishnah does not agree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay? I assume we follow our Mishnah over Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, even though Mishnah's Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Kabanaki, but I assume we go like our Mishnah. Okay, and we continue. We are now in the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, Gorfin, Melefnei HaPetam, Omesalkan Lestadim Mipnei HaRi'i, Divrei Rebbe Dosa. More animal care on Shabbos. So, you're feeding your animals on Shabbos. You need to. In other words, as we learned earlier, any animal that's under your ownership, you not only are allowed to feed, you have to feed. There's a mitzvah to feed. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos, I don't remember where, the Gemara in Brachos says that the first thing you need to do is feed your animals, and then you feed yourself. Okay? Give me a moment. So you feed your animals. So over here now we're talking about the feeding of your animals. And so they have the trough, and you're basically now going to put food in the trough. And what about sweeping in front of the, in the trough? We're going to speak in just a moment. The trough is where? In the ground? It's at its own separate kli. Okay, we'll iron out the details in just a second. Gorfim l'bnei apam, p'tam ha'mesakim l'tzadim m'nei ha'ri'i, div Rebbe Dosa. So according to Rebbe Dosa, sweep. In other words, sweep in front of the trough, sweep away, even if though you're sweeping away the ri'i, the dung, that's fine, that's not a problem. Now mind you that we're talking about moving of muksa, for the sake of your animals. Rebbe Dosa says it's fine. V'chachamim osrim, the chachamim say it's aser. Now, what's aser? In fact, there are two things that you could point to in terms of talking about what's aser. In other words, the Mishnah says, Gorfim milfnei aptam, okay, the sweeping of all the old stuff away, and misalkan l'tzadim. So when the Chachamim say it's aser, what exactly are they referring to? The Gemara is going to ask that question. So just foreshadowing the Gemara, no limilfnei behem azuba, no limilfnei behem azuba Shabbos. How about transferring food from one animal to another animal? Let's say your donkey just finished eating. And he's got leftovers. Can I take the food or the leftover of the donkey and put it in front of my cow? And the Mishnah says, yes, he can. Okay. And by the way, you'll see later on, I was very specific in the example I gave, moving it from the donkey to the cow. You'll see why that's important later on. Ibayilahu. The first question the Gemara wants to deal with is, Rabban Aresha Pligi or Seifa Pligi. Now look, the Chachamim say it's Aser, but what exactly do they mean when they say it's Aser? Or Tavaya Pligi. On what point exactly in the Mishnah are they arguing about? Or are they arguing about every point of the Mishnah? Tashma, the Gemara says, look, well, let's see the following brisa, Detanya. V'chachamim omrim, echadzev echadzev leisa, kenu l'tzadin. The Chachamim say that echadzev echadzev, in both cases, you cannot move it to the side. Meaning that, according to the Chachamim, you're simply not allowed to move any of the refuse, any of the manure, over to the side to make room for food. Amar Rav Chista, machlokes be'eva shal karka, va be'eva shal kli, divrei hakol mutar. Now Rav Chista wants to qualify the debate of our Mishnah. That's only if it's, the whole debate is only when the trough is basically built into the ground. Then we have a debate. But if the trough is its own separate kli, so then there is no debate. You're allowed to sweep whatever refuse is in the trough, you're allowed to sweep to the side. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Eva Shokarka, me ikalaman deshare? If the trough is part and parcel of the ground, you can't sweep the ground on Shabbos. We've said it a number of times throughout the Masechta that you're not allowed to take a broom and sweep the ground. The problem is that I'm leveling the ground. So if it's in the house, that's the problem of Bona. If it's outside, it's the problem of Choresh. Either way, you're not allowed to do that. You're leveling the ground. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to again say the statement to Rav Chista, but new an updated version of the statement. The debate in our Mishnah of whether or not I'm allowed to sweep the refuse to the side is only talking about where the trowel is its own separate kli, where the Chachamim say it's Aser and Rabbi Dosa says it's Mutar. Ava be'eva shel karka, but if it's part of the ground, Devar Hakol, also according to everyone, it's Aser because you're being Mashri Gumus. V'notlin milifnei behema. And you're allowed to take it from one animal and move it to another animal. So in other words, you just fed your animal. He has leftovers. So you could take the leftovers and give it to another one of your animals. You could take it from an animal whose mouth is literally nice and move it to an animal whose mouth is bad. We'll explain what that means in just a moment. Now in another brisa, in another brisa, we're going the other way. You could take it from an animal whose mouth is bad and give it to an animal whose mouth is good. Amar Abayi, now Abayi says there's no debate. The two brisas are actually describing the same exact phenomena, the same exact scenario, but each one of them is just describing it a little bit differently. But it's the same point being made. If I take the donkey's leftovers, okay, so I just fed my donkey, he didn't finish all the food I gave him, and now he's got leftovers, I could take that food and move it in front of my ox. Why? I'll get to why in just a second, sorry. But if I have the ox who left over his food, I can't move the food from the ox over to the donkey. And let's give a reason behind all this. The donkey does not drool. Okay, now I don't own a donkey. I can't speak about this from my own personal experience, but says the Gemara, the donkeys do not drool. And so therefore, when the donkey leaves leftovers, it's just food. Meaning, yeah, he put his mouth on the food, but it's not disgusting, it's not gross. He didn't drool into the food. So now when you take the food and you give it to the ox, ox is fine with it, it's not a problem. However, the islay riri. And on the other hand, the cow, and this I have seen, the cows drool. Right? Cows are big droolers, and so therefore when the cow eats his food, so not only is he putting his mouth into the food, but he's also drooling into the food as well. Now that's unappetizing, but not only is that not appetizing for you and me, it's also not going to be appetizing for the donkey. So to take the leftovers of food that were left in front of the ox or the cow, and now to put it in front of the donkey, he's not going to want to eat it. So essentially what's left over is muktzah. Good. So that's the first brisa, and now we give a pshat and we give a good reason behind it. And then the next brisa, v'hadik tani, we're now on the top of kuf mem aleph amad aleph. V'hadik tani notli milfnei behema shapia ra b'chamor delo dayek v'achel v'nosin lifnei behema shapia yafe bipara de dayka v'achla. And then when the brisa says that the donkey is pia ra'a, meaning that the donkey is not discerning when it eats. The donkey is pretty comfortable eating whatever foods. The para, on the other hand, is more discerning in terms of what it eats. But the point is still the same basic point, that to take leftovers of a donkey and to give it in front of the cow, that's fine, because the donkey doesn't drool. To take something from the cow and to give it to the donkey, that you can't do, because the food has now been drooled all over by the cow. It's disgusting. It's meus, and no donkey, no self-respecting donkey would want to eat the leftovers of the cow. Adkan, that ends our discussion of animal care. Hakash she'agabe hamita. This should sound familiar. We did this earlier in the Masechta. But when I say earlier in the Masechta, we're going way back in the Masechta, way back. But the Mishnah here talks about lying down on a bed. Beds in the good old days were very simple apparatuses. Okay, not what we have now with coils and it's fancy and we're a little bit spoiled nowadays. I mean, thank God, I don't say that in a bad way. But in the good old days, when you lie down your mattress, so you lay down the hay on top of the bed, right? Some nice soft straw, and you lie down on it. The problem on Shabbos is that the straw may in fact be muktzah. Now, if before Shabbos I designate that straw as my as my bedding, so then that would be fine. The Mishnah over here is talking about, and Rashi says it very clearly, that the straw here in question was meant for fuel for the fire. So in other words, the straw is muksa, and now the question becomes, on Shabbos, when I laid the bedding down, all that straw on top of the bed, and it's muksa, can I lie down on muksa? Now, I know we've made this point earlier in the Masechta, but let's say it again. The Isser Derabbanan of muksa means I can't handle muksa, but I'm saying it as literally as I possibly could say it. You can't handle muksa, meaning with your hand. As we're about to learn in our Mishnah, moving muksa with other parts of your body would be fine. So in other words, to move muksa with your shoulder or any other part of your body, even with your feet, would be fine. This is what we call tiltul min hatzad, indirect moving of muksa. Says the Mishnah, Hakasha agabe amita, lo yinan enabiyado, you can't move with your hands, elamana'ano bigufo. But you can move it with your body, i.e., you can lie down on the bed. Okay, now, granted, I realize that eventually, ultimately, your hands will be touching some of the bedding, but that's not the point. The point is that you're essentially moving it with your body, and that's fine.
Isn't this bed a kli?
The bed itself is a kli, but that which you laid over the bed, it's just straw.
But isn't it part of the bed?
I mean, it's not. It's what you're arguing. It's mavutal. It's
yeah.
Okay. You could argue that. It's from the Mishnah, it does not sound that way. From the Mishnah, it sounds like there's a real muksa issue, and because you're not moving with your hands, so therefore it's okay.
You just said it, was supposed to be used for something else. That's
Yeah. Now, if it were food for an animal, or if it was designated before Shabbos, meaning before Shabbos, not only did you put the bedding on the bed, right, all the straw on the bed, but you laid a sheet over it, over the top of it. There's no better way of designating and saying before Shabbos, this is for the bed. And now that I designate it as part of the bed, so now there's no muksa issue whatsoever. You can manipulate it with your hands. It's totally fine. Michba shabalabatim. Now, what about the press? In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi actually uses the word press. Okay, how do they get their clothing nice and unwrinkled? So they had the old-fashioned press. Old-fashioned press, you can take a look at Rashi. Rashi does a wonderful job describing. It's two boards, and the two boards have four holes in the corners, and basically you screw down one board over the other board. Now what you do is unscrew it, put the clothing on the first board, put the second board on top of it, and then tighten it with the screws. And now the Mishnah is basically going to talk about what can you do on Shabbos in terms of either pressing or unpressing? The Mishnah is very clear. Now, if it's the one that you have in your own house, this is not a professional press. This is the one that you get for your laundry room. Matirin of alokovshin. You can unscrew it, meaning that you had clothing in there going into Shabbos, and now I want to take the clothing out, which means I'm going to have to unscrew it. So the Mishnah says you could do that. Of a low kofshin, but you can't screw it on Shabbos. Vishal kofshin, however, if it's the professional press, lo yiga bo, don't touch it. Which is kind of interesting because in the world of muksa, meaning there's no problem with touching muksa, right?
We muksa though.
Huh? Agreed. Right, exactly. In other words, what degree of muksa it is, but in general, though, there is no issue of touching muksa. The issue is moving muksa. And in fact, whenever we talk about muksa in the Gemara, we're always saying the word tiltul. Tiltul means to move. So it is interesting that the choice of wording that the Mishnah uses, lo yigabo, you can't even touch it. Okay, but you may be right, though. In other words, this is a high-level muksa. It's muksa machmas chisar and kis, so maybe that's why the Mishnah uses the word yiga. But that is simply a suggestion. I don't know if that's correct. Rav Yehuda Omer Imaya Mutar Meir Shabbos Matus Kula V'Shamto. Now Rav Yehuda says that if it was partially unscrewed before Shabbos, so then you can complete the unscrewing even on Shabbos itself. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Hay Pulga Melamala Lamata Share Melamala. Sorry, Melamata Lamata. Sorry, Melamata Lamala Aser. Okay. Remember, we did this earlier in the Masechta as well. I have the radish in the ground. Now, the radish, this is important. The radish is not actually connected to the ground, because then by me pulling out the radish, that is a violation of the malach of kotzer. Okay, so the radish has already been detached. Now, they didn't have refrigerators back then, so how do you keep your radishes fresh? You actually dig a little hole in the ground, you bury the radish in the ground. So, great preservative of keeping your vegetables fresh, especially when there was no refrigeration. What we learned earlier, and this is a statement made by Rav Nachman, is it depends. Now, the radish, right, everyone have a picture of the radish. It's thick on one end, thin on the other end. So, Rav Nachman says it depends on how it was buried in the ground. If it was buried thin side down, thick side up, so then you just pull it out of the ground. Okay, why? So, because you're not moving earth. However, thick side down, thin side up, so Rav Nachman says, I can't pull it out of the ground on Shabbos, because in doing so, I'm moving earth, and I'm moving muktzah. Earth, of course, is muktzah mamish, and so I cannot pull it up, but rather, just leave it on the ground. Just give me 1 second. Let's just first finish the thread, and then I'll pause for questions. So, Haipulga Melamala Mata, Sharma Melamata Lamala Asar. So, Amar Vada Bahava. So now, if you think about the statement of Rav Nachman, am I directly moving the earth? No. I'm moving, I'm taking the turnip, I'm moving the turnip, radish, whatever it is. In other words, I'm moving the vegetable. The earth is only being moved indirectly. So, Amar Beirav Tanin Delok Rav Nachman. Meaning, when you learn our Mishnah on today's daf, you'll realize that our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav Nachman. Why? And the Gemara goes over our Mishnah again. Akasha gabe amita lo yinan biyando aval manan begufo. V'im ayamach behemo shaya lav karo sadim manan biyado. But the first point of our Mishnah is as long as I'm not directly moving the muksa, I'm only indirectly moving the muksa, it's fine. Shmamina tilsa manan salo shmei tilto. Shmamina. So you see that indirect moving of muksa is not considered, is not a problem. It's not a violation of muksa. So here too, essentially what the Gemara says is, we're going to reject Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman over here says, you're not allowed to pull the vegetable out of the ground, when all I'm doing is moving earth, but I'm not directly moving earth, I'm only indirectly moving earth. So the Gemara's conclusion is, we don't subscribe to the rule of Rav Nachman. Tilto manatzad is mutter.
But I mean, here your intent is to move a muktzah object. There, your just intent is to, you're like mitase. You're actually trying just to get the radish out.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm going to come, that's going to be my next point. Meaning, the two types of indirect are not the same indirect. I'm going to make that point in just a second. Yes?
It's a question of volume, isn't it? If the side is up, so you're removing or it's refilling less than if the front side is down.
Right, but again, it's not connected to the ground. The only issue is that I'm moving earth, but because I'm not moving it directly with my hands, it's indirect movement. Now, I just want to speak to Ben's point for just a second. These are really, these tiltum and atzads are two different types of tiltum and atzads. Meaning, let's analyze both of them in terms of principally what's happening. In the case of our Mishnah, of the bedding, so here, I'm actually moving the bedding itself, meaning with my body.
Right.
The only thing I'm not doing is I'm not using my hands. I'm using my torso, my head, my feet, my shoulders. I'm simply not using my hands. But the Gemara says that's tiltum and atzad, even though it's a direct manipulation of the actual muksa.
Yeah.
In the case of the vegetable in the earth, I'm not even directly touching the earth. I'm touching the vegetable, I'm manipulating the vegetable, and it's the radish that's moving the earth. So there, I'm handling the thing which is mutter, and in doing so, I'm indirectly moving that which is asur. So you see, those are really two different types. And what's fascinating is that the Gemara makes no distinction. In other words, the Gemara could have just easily sidestepped the entire issue, and the Gemara could have said there are different cases, and the Gemara does not. Meaning the Gemara says, we reject Rav Nachman because of our Mishnah. And essentially what that means is that even though you can easily look at these two cases and say they're different, the Gemara does not. The Gemara essentially looks at them as being two sides of the same coin. Both of them are tiltum and atzad. Okay. Back to the Gemara. We'll continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda hani pilpule mei dechad echad bekata de sakina. I have peppers, so I can grind the peppers using the handle of a knife. Using the handle of the knife is a shinui. that is an unusual way to do so. And so therefore you could crush it with the handle of the knife, but tarte aser, but only one at a time, but not two. So Rav Amar Kevin Demeshane Afilu Tuvaname. So the Gemara says, no, you're doing a shinui, you're doing it in an unusual fashion, and since you're doing an unusual fashion, so therefore it would be fine, it would be acceptable. Amar Yuraman Desachu Bemaya. Let's say a person finds himself in water. Now, you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go in your pool, you're not allowed to go in your lake. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. But let's say whatever, you got it was a rainstorm, you got a very large puddle, whatever the case is. In other words, you find yourself in a body of water, lignev nafshe bereisha v'hadol asalek. Dry off all the water and then start walking around. The problem being, because with all that water on your body, so now what are you going to be doing? You're going to be transporting the water for Amos and a Karmelis. That's a little bit strange because, in other words, we know, we've learned at the very beginning of the Masechta, that a Karmelis is an Issa D'Rabbanan, you're not allowed to carry a Karmelis, and a Karmelis, much like Rosh HaSarabim, you're not allowed to carry something for Amos and Rosh HaSarabim, same with the Karmelis as well.
That's double.
And here, I'm with you. I agree with you. Here, you're not carrying the water. I mean, the water's on your body. So this is an unusual method of carrying. You could say. So okay, so I'm with you. It sounds a little bit strange that the prohibition over here is carrying the water on your body through a karmelis. Okay, sounds like we're putting together a couple of derabbanans.
What is he drying himself with?
Yeah, then squeezing the towel. Okay, good questions. Good questions. I don't know. I'm being honest. So ihachi kaka kika nachis nami kadachi. So the Gemara says, okay, but when you're going into the water, you're creating ripples. You're the waves of the water. You're moving around water. The Gemara says kocho dal amus va'aser. So kocho bekamlos ogazur. The Gemara says, look, that's kocho. Right, when we get to the babas, babakama, right, you're gonna see a lot of kocho, right? It's right, pebbles is an issue of kocho. So, and on Shabbos, moving something with koach, with force of your body, right, transferring energy. So that's kocho. That the Gemara says that's we're talking about a karmelis, and the rabbis didn't make a gzera of kocho within a karmelis, so that's not an issue. Let's say you have mud on your foot. So, rub it on the ground, but don't rub it on a wall. The Gemara says, what? Amarava. Because when you're rubbing mud on the wall, it looks like you're building. Right? Think of the builder. Right? Putting plaster on the wall. So it looks like you're building. So, habinyan chakla'ahu. So the Gemara says, that's not really building. It's whatever you want to call it. It's crude, but it's not really building. So Ela Amarava Mekancha Bekota Bekota Veni Mekancha Bekarka. So the Gemara tries to go the other way, which is that you could wipe the mud on the wall, but not on the ground. Because the problem is when you rub it on the ground, you're going to be leveling the ground, and that's going to be an Isser. So here we go now. Various opinions amongst the Amorayim. So the Gemara quotes Marbre de Ravina, who says it's always Aser, both on the wall and on the ground. Rav Papa Amar Echad Zevechad Zev Mutter. Rav Papa feels that it's always Mutter. La Marbre de Ravina, but my Mekan Chole. So now, according to Marbre de Ravina, just a simple question. You have mud on your shoes. Where do you rub it off? Not the wall, not the ground. So where are you going to rub it off? So you find a beam and you rub it on the beam. Right? In the Old West, remember they had that like beam of wood right before you get into the, you walk into the saloon? Okay. Sure. And you rub your feet right before you get in. Okay, the Gemara says a beam. Amar Rav Lolesi Vinish Apuma Delechaye Dilma Migandera Lechefet V'Asal Asuye. Don't stand by the lechi. Now, if you don't know what the lechi is, so in a short couple of weeks from now, hard to imagine, but we're going to finish Masechta Shabbos, and we're going to open up Erevin, and that's going to be our first discussion in Erevin, the lechi. It's right at the edge of the Mavui, and don't stand right there, because what's going to happen is that some article of clothing or some item is going to fall out, and fall into the Rishus HaRabim, and you're going to go pick it up, and you just transfer from the street to the Mavoi. Street is the Rishus HaRabim, Mavoi is the Rishus HaYachid, so don't sit right by the edge of the Mavoi. Amarava la lipsed in its kuva, dama ase la shvoi gumas. Okay, when you're settling the barrel, don't tilt the barrel back and forth. Shake the barrel back and forth. Make sure to get it nice and settled in the ground. Because what are you doing? You're leveling the ground. Amarava la lehadakinish, udra bepuma deshisha, dama asle de schita. When you are stuffing your barrel, don't stuff it with a nice soft cloth. Because what's going to happen is that as you're stuffing the barrel, the opening of the barrel with that cloth, you're going to be squeezing out the liquid from that cloth, and that is a violation of schita. It's a davar sheinu miskaven, true. It's a davar sheinu miskaven delo nichale, right? It's the psik resha delo nichale. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta, the beginning of Ksuvos, lengthy discussion about a psik resha delo nichale. We go on in the Gemara. Amar of Kana Tisha Agabe Bigdo Mechascha So Mi Bifnim Ve Mechascha Mi Bechutz. Okay, stain on your clothing. Okay, this is a big issue on Shabbos, and it's difficult. Difficult halacha. Not as difficult as your house is on fire. I judge that to be the most difficult halacha on Shabbos. Let your house burn down. But over here, however, it happens very often. You know, you're eating and. Not only are you eating, but your clothing ends up eating a little bit as well. And your first move is going to be, it's a normal reaction, is to rub out the clothing. And then what some people do is they take out the seltzer. So during the week, that's fine. On Shabbos, that's not fine. Right? You cannot do that on Shabbos. It's a malach of kibbutz, of libun. So, tishag begadu mechaschos mebifnim ve'ein mechaschos mebechutz. So, if you have a little bit of mud that falls on your clothing, so to rub it off is fine, but only mibifnim, only that which is internal. Anything which is external, you cannot. Now, why is it okay? So take a look at Rashi. It's an interesting Rashi. It is second to last Rashi on the Amud. Mibifnim, the lo muchacha milsa ischezuye kemalaben. Because if it's on the inside, I'm not giving the appearance that I am trying to clean my clothing. Okay? So in other words, number one, says Rashi, there's a marasayin issue. So if it's just internal, no.
No, the stain is outside, but you do it.
Right, but from the inside? Okay. Okay, fine. Yeah, I accept that.
Yeah, the stain is inside.
And number two, says Rashi, Umalavein mamish lohave de'ein no sein sham mayim. Right. And also, and there is an important line of Rashi, and Rashi says, and also, there's no iser of libun when water is not involved. Right? Basically, what Rashi is saying is that when there's water involved, so that's libun. But when there's no water involved, so that's not libun. Now you'll notice over here, right? The Rabbi Kiva Eger has a comment. You could take a look at Rabbi Kiva Eger actually inside. He writes, my gemara is all the way on the bottom. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, one week in Daf Yomi world, where Rashi over there says that if you rub a stain off, you're going to be chayav karban chatas, even though there's no water involved. Meaning that over here, Rashi says that as long as there's no water, that's not libun. And Rashi later on will tell us, even if there's no water involved, it will be libun. And so therefore, there's a stira within Rashi's. So just note, in other words, one short week from now. What's today? Today is Thursday? Yeah. Okay, good. So, good. Next Thursday, next Wednesday, next Thursday, whenever Kuf Mem Zayin comes up in Daf Yomi. So let's remember, make a mental note, that Rashi over there seems to argue with our Rashi right over here. Okay. We move on. Meisvei Tisha Gabi Manala Megara Begav Sakin. Vish'al Bigdo Megara Bitsiporn Vavashali Chaskes. So here the Braisa says that you can rub off the stain with your fingernail, but you can't really rub out the clothing well. So my love shlo yichasfes klal lo shlo yichasfes mi bechutz al mi bifnim. So the Gemara just simply says a simple pshat on the brisa. The brisa, when it says that you can't rub it, means you can't rub externally. So in other words, you can't take the layers of clothing and rub it from the outside, but internally to rub it from the inside, that's fine. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yana Megarin min al chadash avalo yashan. Okay, now rubbing stains off your shoes. So new shoes, okay, but not old shoes. What's the difference between new versus old? Again, I turn to Rashi. Rashi writes of Alo Yashan, Shekofo Vehave Mamachik. Because when the old shoes now, the leather is a softer leather. It's already now more workable, if you will. And so when I rub it, I'm actually going to be removing a layer of the leather, and that is a violation of the Isser of Memachek. You remember all the way back to when we learned about the Melachos, Dafayin Beis, Ayin Gimel. So we learned one of the 39 Melachos on Shabbos is Memachek, smoothing out the leather. And so here now, if we're talking about a older leather, so when I rub it, I'm smoothing it out, and that's a violation. Vama Megaro, now, what exactly am I rubbing leather with? So I'm Rabbi Abba, Begav Sakin, the back of a knife. So he says, look, you see your brisa, get rid of your brisa, and go instead in favor of my brisa. My brisa says the name Rabbi Chiya Megarin lo menal chadash v'lo menal yashan. You're not allowed to scrape neither a new shoe nor an old shoe. V'lo yisachez raglo shemen. And also, don't rub oil on your foot. V'hu besocha menal, besocha sandal. And right now your foot is currently in the shoe, because essentially, when you rub oil on your foot and your foot's in the shoe, essentially you're rubbing oil on the shoe. And you can't do that. And but what you can do, however, is that once your foot is out of the shoe and you want to rub a little bit of oil into your foot on Shabbos, that's fine. And even though when you put your shoes on, some of the oil is going to transfer from your foot to the shoe, but that's also fine as well. Vesachol gufo shemen, and in Shabbos you want to rub oil onto your body. That's fine. Omit agel al gabe katavlia v'nechoshesh, and you want to roll on a katavlia. Don't ask me; I'm not particularly sure. But anyway, it's got oil on it, and you're basically rubbing oil on your body. That's fine. I'm Rav Chisol Oshano el tzachzechol v'la avdo aser. Now, rubbing oil on your foot and then inserting foot in shoe, that's only if you are going to shine the shoe. But if you're going to work the shoe, in other words, you're really tanning, so then it's also. So the Gemara says, also lavdo. So the Gemara says, pshita. The Gemara says, first of all, right, if the amount of oil that I'm putting on my shoe is going to end up tanning and working the leather, obviously that's prohibited. That's one of the 39 malachas. Visu, I don't know, we're talking about oil, so I don't know. I don't think so. Visu l'tzachzecho mi'ikaman d'shari. And furthermore, even if all I want to do is just shine the leather with oil, that's not okay. So, ela idma achidma amar avchista lo shanu ela shir l'tzachzecho aval shir la'avdo asar. Okay, so here, look, in terms of rubbing oil on your feet and then inserting foot into shoe, the critical issue over here is how much oil you use. Meaning, if my intention is really to apply enough oil to my shoe, either to shine it or to tan it, it will absolutely be forbidden to do so in both circumstances. What the gauge is over here, what the quantity over here is, how much oil can I rub into my foot and then insert foot into shoe. If it's a little bit of oil, l'tzachtecho, that's okay. If it's a lot of oil, la'avdo, so then it would not be okay. But I can't intend to do both, either activity to my shoe. Sorry, I lost my place. Lo yetze katan bimina gadol avayotze hu bechaluk gadol. Right, the kid wearing a large shoe. Kid cannot wear a large shoe on Shabbos. Large shoe means it doesn't fit his foot. And what's the concern? Concern is it's going to fall off his foot while walking through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Going to pick it up, going to transfer it, going to carry it. Can't do it. Now, by the way, child over here doesn't necessarily mean a child. It just simply means your foot is small and you're putting on a large shoe. You cannot do that on Shabbos. However, If you want to wear clothing that's too big for you, that's okay. A woman cannot wear a shoe that is torn. She should not do chalitza with it. Now, in the world of chalitza, shouldn't do chalitza with it, but b'diavad it works. The woman just bought a brand new pair of shoes, never tried it on before. Don't wear it for the first time on Shabbos. And specifically, we're talking about a woman and her shoes. Okay, woman in her shoes, she finds the shoes, falls in love with the shoes, buys the shoes, but doesn't try it on. So then she's going to be wearing it now for the first time on Shabbos. It doesn't fit well, it's not comfortable. She's going to end up taking it off in the Rosh Hashanah, carrying the Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, no good. Tini bar kapara. Loshna ela shelo yatzabo sha'achas mi ba'oyom. However, if she tries it on before Shabbos and finds that it's comfortable, so then it's okay, then she can wear it on Shabbos, even though they are basically new shoes. This brings me back to my childhood. I remember very clearly my parents, all my older relatives, everyone had this. The shoe tree. Okay, nowadays, I don't think it's popular anymore.
I use
it. Yeah, I'm saying my parents.
Newspaper.
Yeah. So taking your shoe out of the shoe tree on Shabbos. I'm calling it correctly. It's a shoe tree. Is that what it's called? Okay.
It's a form,
man. So Rashi calls it a defus. It's right. It's some sort of form. Anyway, it holds your shoe together. One braisa says you can take your shoe out of the shoe tree on Shabbos, and another braisa says you cannot. And essentially what the question becomes is, this shoe tree, is it muksa? Now, it really...
It's a keli.
Perfect. It really touches on another fundamental issue. This shoe tree, is it a kli or is it not a kli? Because basically, remember, we talked about this in the 17th and 18th prakim of Shabbos, is that if something's a keli, so then you can move it on Shabbos. Now, if it's a kli, shemalachta le'ether, so you're limited in terms of how you can move it. Tzarech gufo, tzarech makamo. And if it's a kli, shemalachta le'heter, so then you have more license to move it. But the first question you have to wonder is it a kli? And if it's not a kli, so then what is it? Muksa mamish. So then we're talking about muksa machmas gufo. It's muksa mamish. And so then you cannot move it. So now, basically, what these two brises are grappling with, or the difference between the two brises, it's turning on the issue of whether the shoe tree is considered a kli or not. Lokasha ha-Rabbi Eliezer ha-Rabbanan ditnan. We're going to learn a Mishnah together. Mishnah in Kalim. Minosh aga be'imos, Rabbi Elazar mitar v'chachamim mit'amim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that the shoe tree is tahor, meaning it's not susceptible to tumah. Why is it not susceptible to tumah? Because it's not a kli. Meanwhile, the chachamim say it's tameh, meaning it is susceptible to tumah. Why is it? Because it's a kli. So now it comes out, we have a basic machlokus whether a shoe tree is a kli or not a kli. And now, translate that to Hilchas Shabbos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, can you move it? No. It's muksa. It's muksa mamish. According to...
talking to the shoe.
Huh?
Not the shoe form.
Oh, wait.
You're talking about whether the shoe is a kli.
Okay.
Once it's still on the form, it's not a kli. It's not finished.
Okay. Give it a moment, because your point is a good point. It's going to come up in just a second. The chacham, and according to the chachamim, it's mamish a kli. And because it's a kli, so you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Now, it is a kli. Let's stay with the position of the chachamim that it's a kli.
What is it? The shoe or the shoe?
It's a shoe.
Well, that's what we're gonna try to clarify in just a second. So, let's say it is a kli. Now, its specific purpose is what? To form and shape the shoe. So it's a kli. Shemalachto le'isser. Okay, so now it's a kli shemalachto le'isser. Now remember, on a kli shemalachto le'isser, I mean, this takes us back. what can I move it for? We have a machlokus between Abai and Rava. Now the halacha falls like Rava, which is that you're allowed to move it both letzarech gufo and letzarech makomo. Now Abaye says no, you can only move it tzarech makomo, but you can't move it tzarech gufo. So now so according to Rava, this is a kli shemalach lo leisr, but so what? You're allowed to move it tzarech gufo tzarech makomo. But according to Abaye, it is a klisha malach lo leisr, but I can only move it tzarech makomo. I cannot move it tzarech gufo. So hacha b'mayaskinan b'ripui. So the Gemara says it is not a tight fit; it's very loose. And as Rashi over here explains, shamin al nishmat me'elav the ain't tzarech letaltel ha'imus. What I could do is I could just simply slip the shoe right off the shoe, right off of this shoe tree, right off this form, and so therefore I do not need to actually touch nor manipulate the shoe tree itself. Okay, and that fits in right into the position of Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, okay, now that we have this, let's ask the question the other way. Time of the Rafu, Yalla Rafu, Lo, Hanich, Labai, Dama, Dava, Shamach, Lalit, Tzarek, Gufa, Mut, Tzarek, Mekam, Asr, Shap, Yalla Rafa, Dama, Ben, Tzarek, Gufa, Ben, Tzarek, Mekam, Mutter, my ear, Ya, Ripui, Afilo, Lo, Ripui, Nami. According to Rava, why do I need the qualification of Ripui? That's loose fitting. According to Rava, even if it's tight fitting, so what? I'm moving a Klisha, Malach, Lalit, Tzarek, for the purpose of, for Tzarek, Gufa. Because I want the shoe. So what's the big deal? So the Gemara's answer is, Ha'id Rav Yehuda Mishum de Rav Eliezer. Yeah, but you're going about this all wrong. You're assuming like Rav Yehuda is following the position of the Chachamim. No. Align Rav Yehuda together with Rav Eliezer. Titania, Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rav Eliezer Mayarov Rafui Mutter. Right. Because according to Rav Eliezer, the shoe tree is muksa mamish. I can't move the shoe tree. So the only circumstance...
4 minutes after the bus.
The only circumstance in which I'm allowed to move the shoe off the shoe tree is only if it's loose fitting, so I don't have to actually move the shoe tree at all. But if it's a tight fit, according to Rabbi Lezer and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would therefore be aser. Okay, quick recap. We finished the life advices of Rav Chisda to the Talmidei Chachamim. We went on to discuss moving the food in front of the animal, sweeping the manure in the trough in order so that the animal can eat. Machlok is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Dosa, whether you're allowed to do it. The difference between the trough being in the kli versus the trough being on the ground. We then talked about lying down on bed. And we talked this morning about tiltum min hatzad. Tiltum min hatzad is mutter, both when I'm handling the mukta itself, but not handling it with my hands. Or if I'm handling a davar hamutter with my hands and indirectly moving the dirt. In both cases, the conclusion of today's Gemara is that it would be mutter. Then the Gemara gave us like a whole assortment of various stains and stain lifters. Stains on your clothing, stains on your shoes. What exactly do you do with it? And then our final discussion of today was the shoe tree. And whether or not you're allowed to separate the shoe from the shoe tree on Shabbos, it really turns into a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim on whether or not it's a kli or it's not a kli. If it's a kli, you have more latitude to move it because it's a kli, even though it's a kli shemachter le'isr. If it's not a kli, so then it's muksamamish and you can't move it at all. Our conclusion is like the Chachamim that it is a kli. Our conclusion is like Rava that a kli shemachter le'isr, you're allowed to move it tzarech gufo tzarech makomo. Hadron Lach Tolan, that is the end of the 20th parak of Shabbos. Tomorrow, Mir Hashem, we start the 21st parak of Shabbos. Continued refuah shlema for Binyamin Zeva Cohen, Ben Shimon Rivka, and for Rafal Zaka Avram, Ben Yakir Avigal. And the Chananya Ben Akasha Marat Zakash Baruch, Zakash Sofi, Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar, and Naicha Vipsa Mansiko, Yagdil Torah Viadir.